Romans chapter number 1, this is about the, we've missed one day of preaching in 9 days. But God brought this home with us from the mountains. I pray that it'll help you today. Well, we got several scriptures we want to read, but don't get nervous. I won't hold you long. Beginning at verse number 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now watch your Bible and you're going to see kind of where our nation's at. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want you to underline that phrase. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I want you to underline that phrase. They became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made likened unto a corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Lord, I seem like that's Channel 8 News. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now there's so much we could preach there. But would you agree with me? I read what's going on in America today. Men without natural affection, women without truth breakers, and doing those things that are unseemly. But the point I want you to really think about before I give you the title is not wanting to retain God in their conscience. Even God's people today want to hurry up, get through, run out the door and get their mind on something else rather than get right with God. And so this morning I want to pull my text out of verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I want to preach on this subject this morning for just a little while. What's fooling you? What has you fooled? Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm going to tell you, folks think what we do, what we've had already in the song service today, is foolishness. The first night of, boy, I'm on national, not national TV, but we're on TV this morning. So y'all smile, act right. But the first night of revival, I won't say which one it was, there was a man I'm talking about got wrapped up in the Word of God. And I mean, he didn't just whisper an amen, Brother Frank. Oh no, it went, hey, it got good to him. And it was, I mean, he just got, hey man, thank you God for saving me while I was preaching. They thought that was making me nervous, but it didn't. And what was some of the first words I said? I said, what do you think about him? I thought pretty good about him. Because he had the same thing that I had. Amen. But I want you to understand, we're living in the day and time of strong delusion. And I'm going to tell you, the devil is deceiving mastery, is going throughout our land. And we're the most deceived generation that I have ever lived in. We would rather believe a lie and be damned than to go to the truth of the Word of God and find out what will set us free. Amen. But may I say to you, even though we're living in the most, what are you talking about? Total rejection of God. Total rejection of God. I'm talking about rebellion against the things of God, the sacred thing. And listen to me. Hey, they're calling us foolish. They're saying to you and I, all that old time stuff ain't no good. It just won't work. I declare unto you right here today, it's the only thing that will work. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face and pray, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. It's the only thing to get us out of the mess we're in. Amen. Don't tell, I've been preaching for about 2 weeks. I'm stirred up about it. I'm going to be honest. They call us foolish, but one day, we'll see who the fool is. One day, this nation has turned its back on God as a whole. Amen? Many churches are not preaching the gospel that I'm going to declare unto you this morning. And hey, Paul said, if any man or any other creature, he said, whether it be I or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And folks, I'm telling you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is all that will set a man free. What has you fooled? The master deceiver. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, that the light of the glorious gospel could not be shown unto them. There's not but one gospel. Paul said, I declare unto you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. What has you fooled? Society. Society. TV. Radio. Social media. Being used more for Satan's deception than the spreading of the Word of God. All of those things are good things. Amen. All of those things are good things. Unless they're used for the wrong thing. And we've allowed television to mandate to our heart what's right and what's wrong. We've allowed the news media to tell us what's right and what's wrong. May I declare unto you, I'll hold it up one more time. This is the only absolute truth in all the world. And I'm telling you, if you don't go to this book, you'll not find the whole truth of God. What has you deceived? I pray today that you'll smarten up and you'll quit chasing after a fame, fortune, and fun, and you'll realize what has you fooled. Number one, some are fooled by false teachings. I shouldn't have to labor here long. I done preached about half of that. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I'm going to warn you and tell you, they're good at what they do. Amen. False preachers and false teachers are very good at what they do. They've got the charisma. They've got the language. Hey, they've got the wording to make you leave out of here feeling all goody about yourself. But may I remind me and you, apart from Christ, there's none good, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and they stink in the nostrils of God. God didn't call me to preach to make you feel good. He called me to preach that we might all get right with God. And I promise you, when you get right with God, you'll feel good about it. Amen. But it's all about Him, not about me and you. Oh, they're good at it. These new teachings and new programs that say there's five. Let me tell you something. They'll paint you 500 ways to get into heaven, but there ain't but one. There ain't but one. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, yeah, but Brother Allen, I'm a good old soul. I've got news for you. Your soul's either dead or alive. And the only thing good about me and you is when the fruits of righteousness and the works of righteousness of Christ begin to show through our life. Get it through our head. It ain't about us. It's about Him. And He's the only one that can make any good out of us. But we've listened to all of these programs, foolish deceptions that show a man a conversion without change. Can I tell you something? Walking this aisle won't save you. Bowing at this altar won't save you. Oh, that's a good place to get where you can be converted. But that one, hey, you can formalize and say 500 different prayers, but that will not save you. Well, Brother Allen, how in the world am I going to get saved? Just like the Bible says. Y'all got a minute? You know what real conversion is? It starts with conviction. I'm telling you right now, you cannot get saved until you're first convicted about being lost. Well, how do I get convicted when somebody is getting up here like this old country boy and telling you there's none good, no, not one. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Well, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. Well, when you hear somebody say, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then all of a sudden, something begins to play around in your heart, and then all of a sudden it grabs a hold of your heart and it begins to convict you. It brings you up before a righteous and holy God and declares unto you that you are a sinner, and if you die in that condition, you'll be found guilty and go to hell. That's conviction. Then once conviction has come in, there is a choice. Because at the same time it's showing you your sinful condition and your helplessness in order to save yourself, and that you ain't no good. You can't be good enough to get saved. You can't get up enough money to be saved. You can't do enough works to be saved. But all of a sudden, while you're standing there helpless and hopeless and know you're condemned and guilty before God, thank God, God reveals to you His darling Son, whom He gave to this world to come and die for our sins, rise for our justification, is ascended to the Father, stepped down ready to make intercession for you. Oh, then there's a choice got to be made. And in that choice, you've got to decide right then, am I going to go with God, or I'm going to continue on this path of sin? And then when you realize I want to go with God, then repentance is going to have to come in. Friend, listen to me. I don't care what they say. Without repentance, you cannot be saved. Well, what is repentance? Brother Allen, I asked God to forgive me for taking that dope. That's not repentance. Well, God, I asked God to forgive me about that alcohol I was drinking. That's not repentance. Repentance is the fact that you are a sinner and you're going to repent from being a sinner and you're going to turn your life and your heart and your soul into the hands of God and say, Lord, I can't do nothing with it. I'm giving it to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I give it all to you. And when you turn it all over to God, I'm telling you, God will convert you. And then after conversion, you'll see a change. When's the last time you saw very many say, I'm saved, but you never saw the change? The Bible said you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. James said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm telling you, when God saves a man, He changes that man. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, Brother Allen, you're preaching that holiness doctrine where you gotta be perfect. Man, look up here. There ain't nothing about me perfect, but the perfect one lives inside of me. He's the Lord of my mind. He's the Lord of my feet. He's the Lord of my heart. He's the Lord of my mouth. And I'm just doing my best to leave the reins in His hand, and where He leads me and guides me, I'll go. No, I'm not perfect. But He is. And it's through His righteousness. But I can tell you what He did for me when He moved in this old house. He made me not want to go where I used to go. He made me not want to do what I used to do. I'm not going to tell you I ain't tripped up and I ain't slipped every once in a while, but I ain't never went back in that stinking world. I've slipped in my mind a time or two, and I've had desires that would slip in there to go do something, but I knew God had saved me, and immediately I said, Satan, you can't have me. I'm in His hands. Why? Because I became a new creature. I didn't want what I used to have. Oh, Brother Adam, that's that old-fashioned stuff. Amen. It's Bible, too. And I'm going to tell you what. Back when you had old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned praying, old-fashioned, and I'm talking about old-fashioned worship and old-fashioned preaching, this country wasn't in the mess it is in today. But I'm telling you, we're in shambles because we're fooled. What has you fooled? We have pulpits across America preaching any old will do. One of my favorites is this: God will give you 100-fold. Send me $1,000 and you'll get 100,000. I forget what preacher it was. Probably Brother Newton. It sounded like him. He called one of them up and said, I tell you what, you send me 100,000. I can't even figure that high. And you'll get this much back if you believe what you're preaching. Man, God never promised me a dime as far as a figure. But He did promise me He'd take care of all my needs. He promised me that I'd never have to worry about eating. I'd never have to worry about where I stayed. Why? Because I'm in His hands and He has control. Oh, yeah, that's old-fashioned. That's all right. We stopped believing in God in America and started believing in gold. Amen. Now I'm going to just tell you, and then I'm going to give you the next point. My wife's wondering if I'm going to get through before 12. I am. It's only because I ain't got the voice or the strength to go any longer. If you continue to follow false teachings, and you continue to follow the ways of this world and the mentality of the world that just live as you please, it don't matter, you're probably going to die and go to hell. That's all I'm going to say. What has you fooled? Foolish timing has a lot of people fooled. Acts 24:25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, watch your Bible. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Acts chapter 26, verse 28. And now he's standing before King Agrippa. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Foolish timing. This one, I believe, causes more, the deception here causes more people to die and go to hell than anything else I could preach to you. Amen. Because they say anytime you get ready, come on. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Or the devil has you thinking, I've got plenty of time. May I remind you, the funerals this year, there's been more under the age of 50 than there has been over 50. May I say to you, don't you fall into the trap of that deception in thinking you've got plenty of time. Amen. Well, I'll do it when I get ready. No, you won't. But brother, I got some more things I want to do. And then I'll get saved. I'm telling you right now, you'll die and go to hell with that thinking. Why? Because that's not Bible. You don't get saved when you get ready. The Apostle Paul, through the sovereignty of God, stood in before the governor. And as he stood there, he trembled. What was that? He got that conviction I talked to you about a while ago. And he had a choice, Brother Frank. But he chose not to go the way he would rather have his popularity and his fame and his fortune than to trust God. Paul said, there's a judgment coming. You'll stand there and give an account of yourself. And it won't be judged according to you. It'll be against the righteousness of God, the Holy One that was without sin. He'll be your judge. And he trembled. And he said, Paul, the time ain't right. Oh, when I have a more convenient season, when I get through with what I want to do, then I'll be saved. When he stood before the king, he got the conviction. He had a choice. How do you know that, Brother Allen? Because he said, almost. Almost. How many people have walked an aisle and came to truly get saved, but they just had that one thing they would not turn over and trust Christ with all their heart? Paul said, we're not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe all the way. He said, Paul, almost. Paul said, I would to God that all men everywhere were not almost, but altogether persuaded as I am, except for these bonds. Oh, you're not promised a tomorrow. You're not promised another chance. You're not promised. Well, let me just go ahead and get some of that. James said, say not tomorrow you'll go into the city and you'll buy and sell and get gain. You'll do this, that, and the other. For he said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. You're not, hey, but for the grace of God, you wouldn't have drew a breath this morning and made it to this church. That was God allotting you the time to be here. James said, don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Amen. Tomorrow may never, ever come. But may I remind you, you may live 50 years and God may never deal with you again. Well, that's not a very loving God. Oh, it was a loving God to let you have one chance. Hey, it's mercy and grace that gives you anything. Hey, listen. If God deals with you today, listen to what He said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. My spirit will not always strive with the heart of a man. You can come back tonight, and I promise you, you'll hear one of the best preachers, in my opinion, in all of our nation today. But hey, you may come back and he preach heaven down, and make all of us that are saved shout victory, and others may even get saved. But I'm telling you, if God deals with you this morning, you may come back and never feel a thing. Because He said His Spirit will not always drive the heart of man. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It's false teaching that tells you that when you die, you can be prayed out of purgatory. Amen? Oh no, John even come out of the wilderness preaching it. The axe is laid at the root of the tree, and how the tree falls, so shall it lie. No, I'm telling you, whatever condition you die in, that's the condition you'll meet God in. And it's appointed unto men after this the judgment. Not a time to be prayed out. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else, and it swept some of the Baptist churches. Hey, this old deal about hell's not real, that you're going to die and you're going to hit hell and poof, you're gone. Friend, that's birthed out of hell. I tell you, Revelation says, death and hell shall deliver up the dead which are in them. And death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. The rich man in Luke 16 is still crying out for mercy. But it's too late. It's too late. Acts 24:44. Therefore be ye ready, for He's coming in such a time that you think not. Amen. He's coming a time that you think not. There's a reason He put 2 Corinthians 6:2 in our Bible. For He saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, God deals with you. Harden not your heart. If so, you'll probably go to hell. Number 3, and I'm done. Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. We've looked at false teachings. We've looked at foolish timing. Now we're going to look at foolish thinking. They say we're fools for believing in a God that we can't see with natural eyes. But I tell you, the Bible says it's who does not believe in this God, the true and living God. It's those that do not believe in Him that are the fool. Amen. Those who say there is no God and there is no Christ. There is no heaven. And there is no hell. That we're no more than a dog. We just live our life as we please and we die. And that's it. You're fooled. Those who just want to believe what society says, that the mentality of the world says, and not believe what God says about sin and about eternity and about salvation, they're the fool. Amen. One split second or less when you close your eyes to meet the Maker, you'll know there is a heaven and you'll know there is a hell. You'll know there is a sovereign God who's always been and always will be. You'll know He gave His Son so you could be saved. Amen. You'll believe then, but it'll be too late. You'll be in torment. Day and night, forever and ever and ever. Why? Because you're fooled. You're fooled. This morning, I can stand and testify, not because I've heard it, but my wife and I experienced it the first time as a 27-year-old boy. I was there 4 hours, about 4 hours before he went into eternity. They woke him up out of, or they didn't wake him up. He woke up out of a coma. Being in a coma 2 weeks screaming. They're throwing me in the fire. They're throwing me in the fire. Am I telling it right, honey? I did everything in my power to get him to the Lord. But he had sinned away his day of grace. He left here what I'm saying to you. You might know there's a hell before you ever get there. I'm not talking about crying like me and you cry. I'm talking about screaming. It's engulfing me. Someone told us about an incident up in the mountains that we were in this week. About a man, they were having to hold him on the bed and him screaming. And he called his kids and said, "Don't go there. Don't die. It's real. Don't come here." And he was screaming with everything he had. He said, "It's too late for me, but you kids, don't you go where I'm going." Foolish thinking to think there's not a God in heaven who's eternal, who's sovereign, who's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all power, all knowledge, all wisdom. It's foolish to think he don't exist. It's foolish to take the mentality of the world and say that Jesus Christ is just another religion. Oh no. Oh no. He died. He was buried. I wish I had time to preach a whole message on resurrection, tell you who all seen him. But I'll tell you this, as an 18-year-old boy, through the eye of faith, I saw him. And I'm changed today. So I want him to get a song this morning. We're going to give you opportunity to not be foolish anymore. But you see, I've preached to you on what has you fooled. I feel like I've preached enough of the gospel through these scriptures to let you know what the gospel is. That's Jesus Christ. And I think I've preached enough to let you know unless the Spirit is dealing with you, it ain't going to do you a bit of good to come. But this morning, if you feel the Spirit dealing with your heart, you've heard the gospel, and you know if you died in the condition you're in right now that you'd go to hell, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow what's drawing you now. Amen. And here's what the Word of God says. If you'll repent of your sins, give your heart and life to Jesus, no matter what sins you've committed, no matter how many you've committed, here's what God said. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, not might be, not maybe, shall be saved. He'll wash you clean. He'll make you feel new. Hey, and you looking for peace and you looking to feel good, you wait till He saves you. You'll know what feeling good and peace really is. So as we sing, would you come? Father, thank you for being with us. Now,